Welcome to the Klamath Tribes podcast. Ken Smith here with today's guest, Henry Rundo. How are you, Henry?
I'm good.
So, Henry is the man who does it all from the Klamath Tribes, I've found. But music seems to be your passion.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Hey, you know, no, it's definitely a big influence on my life and what I do, even outside of my regular work life.
And an MC.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you did the MCing for the restoration. That was a marathon gig.
Yeah, sometimes being an MC is it's a big responsibility, but being young as I am, I try to take pride and humble myself and learn as much as I can and see if I can take some pointers from some of the higher-ups in the MC world.
So when you MC, you like to use a lot of humor, and it seems that perhaps comedy is a bit of a sideshow for you as well. Did you say you do stand-up comedy?
Once in a while, I like doing stand-up comedy in my shower time, in the morning routine.
Never on stage?
Well, I did it on stage a couple times. They weren't like super big gigs, just like little side gigs over at the Aftershock by the Epicenter and whatnot. But yeah, a lot of MC work is a lot of pertaining to keeping the people entertained and laughing, and so you have to have a little bit of comedic relief and whatnot. So I try to implement it here and there, not to go too overboard, so you don't get scolded by the elders. Shout out elders for laughing at what is kind of funny. Hey.
So who are some of your inspirational tribal members in the cultural side of things in music?
Oh man, that's a tough one, because I really never grew up in a family that was like culturally orientated.
So how did you gravitate to it?
I kind of just like grasped onto it by myself, and then just throughout my little journey, just been getting inspirations and getting knowledge passed down to me here and there. But the biggest influence right now for me would have to be probably have to say my Uncle Tyler Barlow. Not really full-on uncle, but in that Indian way uncle, you know. He's like one of those ones that's always sharing songs with me and whatnot. And just recently started sharing some, would probably be Jeff Mitchell. And yeah, it's not too many song makers or singers out here, because what I learned was that we, as Klamath people here, we're singing people, but you don't really see much of that around. And yeah, like I said, I didn't really grow up in a singing family or a culturally orientated family. So I kind of grasped on a little bit late. So I wasn't born into the whole singing thing. So probably see like early teenage years is when I started finally grasping onto everything.
So I wonder about the songs themselves. You, when I hear it, I of course don't speak the language, but are there lyrics in there that are Klamath?
Yeah, in a sense, depending on what we're singing. So from my standpoint, from my point of view, or I should say, is depending on where I'm at or what I'm doing, if it's singing at a powwow, singing at ceremony, or what kind of ceremony that is, or singing for whatever events, I'll pick and choose what songs I'm going to sing. So a lot of the time, like if I'm singing for events here at home, for like, let's say, what was the most recent one I did? Like the honor song for our game enforcement officers for graduating the academy. A lot of the time, if it's a lot of things that I'm being called upon here at home, I'll try and sing songs with our Klamath words in them. But it's kind of like a new thing here, because in the powwow world, the biggest languages you'll hear are like Cree, Lakota, Navajo. And so Klamath is like a super complex language that you don't really hardly ever see. But one of the bros that's kind of like pivotal in getting that little uprising started and get it into a trend was a tribal member, Carlos McNair. And so he's like one of those good drum bros. So we're like, hey man, it'd be cool if we can have some of our own songs, because we know all these other songs, And as a singer, you know, it's always protocol depending on where you travel to know different songs. And so we've always thought it'd be cool to have powwow songs with our language in them, you know, but our language is so diverse. You know, we have all these different sounds. We have like our S's make a shh, our C's make a ch. But a lot of times when you're trying to make those songs, you can't really put the shh and the ch to them. So you just do the s and the k sometimes if you have to. But it'll work out like with Ditchy. We could be able to work that out and use the ch sound. And so a couple elders, you know, they've told us that our language is so diverse that sometimes you don't have to do the full on in depth of the word. That way you could just be able to sound it out to make people understand. So when we're singing our songs, that way people understand, like, oh, okay, I could catch that. I don't have to do the big old stop sometimes because we have pauses too. So it's like super complex and diverse. But yeah, when it comes to singing here at home for all of our different things, when we have these honor songs and whatnot, we always try to correlate using our songs that we have already made together that pertain to having Klamath words. And I guess it all depends on what the occasion's for, because a lot of the songs are going to almost kind of sound the same, just worded or have a harmony different to it. But a lot of the ones that we usually use is like Muckluck, Stinta, you know, family, relatives, love, because a lot of that just kind of correlates together. So when you guys start hearing those songs, you know, it's more of a bigger picture, but we try and keep it within a reach of the audience to let them understand, like, oh, okay, I get it. Because, like, we can say one word and it'll have, like, five different sayings. But if we choose a different word, it can have just, you know, pinpoint to break it down so it's not super diverse.
You mentioned that the Klamath have a history of being a singing song-oriented tribe, but over the years that they disappeared, and now you're trying to renew it again. How did it go from a tribe of songs that you know was a big part of the culture? How did we lose that, and how do we get it back?
A lot of it has to do with going into reservation life, where we had to start learning to do colonial English, and a lot of it has to do with the boarding school era. You know, but I'm still learning a lot of new things here and there and everything. But yeah, our people were once, you know, singing people, because we had songs for everything, for different ceremonies, you know, a coming of age for the men or the boys and the girls, you know, your first kill, your first hunt, or your first trap, even your first fish. You know, there were songs for everything, you know, your first basket. But a lot of those songs, you know, have kind of like disappeared throughout the years and whatnot, especially when it started, you know, around reservation life and then going into the boarding school era, where we weren't able to sing our songs, practice our ceremonies, and, you know, speak our language and whatnot. So a lot of that kind of just like was hidden and wasn't really shared much, you know. And we've nowadays, pre and post restoration era, you know, we got a handful here and there from different eras from the 50s on up, trying to revitalize that, those songs, or revitalize our language. And so that's kind of a key thing, is, you know, just passing down, you know, what it means to know our language and start learning our songs. Because, well, to me, there's not really many of those old songs out there that we know. We have a couple CDs out, but that's maybe a handful or a couple handfuls of songs that everyone knows, or like everyone would sing at like a sweat lodge ceremony. But there's not a lot of those songs that we know or where they all went to, what we can sing for like welcoming like another tribe into our land or something like that. And so the more I get older, you know, I start trying to adapt to, instead of just making just songs for like powwow songs and whatnot, I'm starting to translate into making songs, you know, traditional ceremony songs we can use for ceremonies, for like a water song, or, you know, giving thanks to creator, or a women's song, or different songs here and there, and just breaking it down just by words. Because a lot of time, there's always more words to it to say something, but sometimes it's like hard to grasp, especially if you're just barely learning the language. Me, I'm not a full fluent linguist because just the way I live and the work I do, like being an MC, you're kind of adapt to having to learn many languages from different tribes. And so, but then again, myself, I like to call myself a half and half because I'm part Klamath and I'm part Crow. And so I'm stuck between two worlds of learning two different languages. So I'm like, oh man, I want to fully commit to one, but then it's going to go against my morals of having to learn the other side of me. So I try to break it down and learn a little bit here and there. I get the basics. I can do basics super good, you know, but I'm slowly trying to get myself out there. And whenever I get time, study our dictionary and pinpoint and pick out words. And a lot of it too is just, you know, going into that dictionary that we have and picking out those words and trying to make it sound good and put a harmony to it. Because our songs, they're super quick and easy, just a light melody. And then you just add those words to it or you add some vocables to it to make it sound good. But what I like about our language department now, too, shout out to Georgine and all of them, is, you know, we finally have a language department where we can be able to get that out there, those words, get the dictionaries out there and start teaching people. Because I feel that's the most biggest thing we're going to need for these next 4, 5, 6 generations coming up, is letting them know, hey, we need to keep our language alive. And in order to, from my perspective, the best way to keep our language alive is by song. Because we were singing people, and I feel like music is the thing that culturally ties everyone together, no matter what tribe, no matter what ethnicity you come from, is music. And if I can be able to create songs for people from novice to advanced, you know, linguists, you know, we can be able to share those. And that's like the biggest goal, is, you know, just making new songs to spread out to the people.
The songs, when I was listening to them at the Restoration Celebration, because there was a lot of songs there, and I recorded some, I played the intro and outro with this podcast with them. I'm amazed at how high the pitch can go.
Yeah.
And it seems to really dominate the songs. You don't sing, it doesn't seem that there isn't a lot of low sounds. It's very high, you know.
Yeah.
Tenor, what do we call that? We call that
Yeah, tenor.
Yeah.
Yeah, so powwow songs, you know, powwow singing is like a whole different like league of its own. But it was never like that, like back before my time in the 30s, 40s, 50s and whatnot, when powwow started trying to get a little bit big, because powwow was not really like a ceremonial type of thing. It was started from the Buffalo Bill Wild West show. And they called that whole little show traveling around a powwow. But I feel like as indigenous people, we just adopted that in, because like, oh, hey, we could probably try and make some money off people bringing colonials in or non-tribal people in to watch us do our dances and our ceremonies. And a lot of that you see like on YouTube, where they show old footage of, you know, these ceremonial dances being shown and having all these spectators or all these visitors coming in to pay to see that. And so it's kind of like its own thing. And so, but powwow singing, yeah, it never used to be that high.
Really?
Yeah. Powwow used to be just like old style, and like I like to joke around about it. But it's kind of true, is, you know, you're crying for your people. And so the very first few powwow songs, you know, they're super low. It's kind of like you're crying or like you're mourning for your people. And it's not till like the 80s and 90s is when people started adapting and advancing the way a powwow song was created. And that's when they started getting all those big old high notes and and it's kind of crazy. I was just listening to another podcast about how this goes on. So shout out to Culture Stream Podcast. If you guys ever hear this out there on the YouTube world, you know. And I just recently caught that on Spotify, It's some bros back in the Dakota areas, and they got a podcast talking about powwow and stuff like that. And I've been following them, and it's a crazy thing how this was brought up. Yeah, that's super crazy. Hey, it's like deja vu for me right now.
Is there a national gathering of tribes where they all, you know, have a grand singing ceremonial 2 or 3 day festival?
Every weekend, no matter where you go, there's gonna, well, yeah, I should say every weekend or every other weekend, always starting sometimes. Well, it's supposed to be a summertime thing because sometimes the wintertime is for like round dance season and all this and that, but there'll be like those, like California and Florida, the stuff, places that don't get like a bunch of snow, they'll still have powwows throughout the wintertime. Yeah, but almost like every weekend, there's a 2-3 day celebration going on everywhere. I think, what's going on this weekend? There's a lot, there's something going on this coming weekend.
But what about like a national, where you hear all the different tribal songs?
I wouldn't say like tribal, it just depends on the drums, like the drum groups on where they travel. So like the biggest ones here on like in the States would probably be like the Gathering of Nations held in like the end of April out down in Albuquerque. And then there's a couple.
Have you been there?
No, not yet. Super expensive, but one day I'll get there. I've had a bunch of bros, but I like kicking back at home and watching it off YouTube live from powwows.com and all that. Save a little bit of money. Hey, probably not good as in person or live, but you know, at home is good. That way I can be able to beat and watch. Hey.
Is there one tribal nation that really excels with retaining the past songs, that they didn't lose it? Or is everybody trying to get it back?
I feel like it depends on the situation, I guess, because we're not really, I would say, like, we don't know what they went through, like a different tribe. But the biggest ones that I see, like, would probably be like our Northern California relatives downriver. You know, they have a lot of their songs still, and they have a lot of their ceremonial dances.
We're referring to who?
I would say the Hoopah, the Karuk, the Yurok, just a lot of our Northern California border neighbors and whatnot.
They were able to maintain the past. They didn't lose those songs. When you hear them, do you hear a lot of different sounds that otherwise you wouldn't have picked up on?
Yeah, in a sense, because a lot of people, well, I guess it depends on the tribe and whatnot, is, you know, the way they sing their songs, or who passed those down. Because it is all going to depend from tribe to tribe on how their ancestors or their generations before passed that on, if they passed it on there, or if they kept them in archives, or what happened, or if they fell into the boarding school era or whatnot. That's a lot of the mysterious questioning of how, and it all depends on the people if they were really pushing for it or whatnot. You know, because we don't know what happened 100 years back or what's going to happen 50 years forward. And so it all just depends on the people, on how they do it. And that's what kind of the thing that kind of inspires me to continue with the song making, you know, because one day, hopefully, these songs that I make will be passed down and people will be using those for our ceremonial songs, whether it be for like the Sweat Lodge or for all these ceremonies that are starting to come back or come into fruition again, or like songs to welcome back our fish, you know, during the Chuam ceremony or whatever ceremonies they have going on and whatnot.
Which is coming up.
Yes.
Do you have something planned?
I'm not too sure, because right now, with us still being in like the winter seasons, my whole March is going to be filled up with going to help out our outlier relatives here, cater to their ceremonies. And so depending on how the weather is, because usually we usually have our Chuan ceremony after the last big or the first big snow. And we haven't really had a super big snow or a last big snow just yet, just dabbles. And that's when we do it. So it all depends on the weather, because what I'm hearing, they haven't had a set date. So they're looking, depending on how the weather goes, maybe like the last weekend in March or the first weekend in April. But I always joke around and tell everyone the weather is getting as old as we are. And so it's flat running on super Indian time. not Monica time, Indian time. Mm.
Okay, just one quick question about modern music and any indigenous native representation. Are there any musicians out there that are taking the history of their tribe or nation and making it into the mainstream of music? You know any musicians?
I would say not many from here, like there used to be, but there's a lot of big influences.
Grammys were just on. I missed it. It's my favorite event on TV for music, but I haven't ever really seen, I'm probably overlooking somebody, right? But from the indigenous side of America.
Indigenously wise, for super big mainstream, there's not really much out there because it's kind of like, as indigenous artists, we're kind of like put on the back burner. But
well, how do we get you on the front burner? Is there anybody ready to take the lead? Oh, there's got to be some great singers out there, right? That are from tribal nations and even our own Klamath, right? There's got to be somebody like yourself. Have you aspired to pick up the guitar and translate song into, you know, the mainstream?
No, a couple times, but they weren't super big. That's it. That's for a different story. Ain't no. But maybe about like 10 years ago, I was a part of a group called Beats, Lyrics, and Leaders. And we were like a ragtag group of different tribal kids from all the 9 tribes of Oregon that came together.
That's a good name for a group.
Yeah.
The 9 tribes of Oregon.
Yeah. And we came together and we made a song and we called it Res Life. You guys can find that on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's going to be under Blue Flames Res Life EP.
When did you produce that?
We put that together like 10 years ago.
Oh, we need something. We need to get back on behind the studio mics and produce something.
Yeah, I've had a couple people ask me because that was kind of like I called it my one hit wonder. And so a lot of people, a lot of our local artists here trying to get me to cop on. I'm like, I'm not really a rap artist. I was like, but I could get down once in a while. And so I was joking around. Maybe I'll make a rap album one day. But yeah, I'm more of a trying to keep it traditional contemporary.
Mm-hmm. And you've got your drum here. What do we have planned? A little something?
Yeah, we might have a little something here as soon as we're done yapping away. But yeah, but back to your question, you know, there's a lot of talented artists out there.
In Klamath County?
Klamath County too, but you know, out of the states in the Indian country, like we're asking about earlier, like Natani Means, Frank Juan, Anton Edwards, you know, there's the list goes on. They're just like different artists from different tribes. And there's just something that like is just holding us back. But with all these artists, you know, I've been following them on their platforms and whatnot. And, you know, I feel like eventually we're going to make it to, it's not going to be anytime soon, but we're getting up there to make it into the mainstream, like Grammy wise. But for Grammy wise, you know, they have it called like the international group thing. And once in a while we'll have drum groups in there, make their way and have a shot at the Grammys. That we have, like Black Lodge, Northern Cree, Young Spirit, Fawnwood, a lot of those pioneers that have kind of opened the door for us to get into the mainstream. Cause there is one, I forget what they call it, but it's like the international award or something crazy going on where, you know, they pick different artists from Indian country or from like New Zealand and just like a indigenous communities and whatnot for that specific category.
You know, I'm in the public relations department here, but part of that job is to present the tribes to the community at large and the positive things we're doing. I think it'd be wonderful to stage a tribal 9 tribes music fest, both traditional and modern, at the Goose Ogigawa, you know, right in that grounds.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That'd be pretty.
I'd love to like work sacred. With you on like putting together something like that. Wouldn't I think that'd be excellent.
Yeah. Usually we have a nothing super big like that, but we always, I don't know if they still do it now, but back when I was a little SK young teenager in my prime,
you know, you're still a young guy.
Yeah. I'm old now. I always joke and tell everyone, according to the Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board, a youth is identified as age 14 to 24. I've passed that 24 threshold, so now I can claim old.
Oh, just an old guy. You're on your way to being an elder.
Yeah, I got a couple gray hairs in there somewhere. Makes me wise. Ain't no. But yeah, you know, there's probably other people out there that have the same kind of ideas going on, but we just haven't had an opportunity to get it brought out. But the another thing, you know, with the mainstream music and whatnot and going on is, as indigenous artists, we're, you know, slowly but surely trying to get ourselves put out there. And especially here in the Klamath County here, it's trying to get recognized a little bit, because a lot of it is, you know, we're like folk and country. We're in the folk and country kind of area. And within the last couple of years, you know, I've had the opportunity to go and sing at the on the big stage over at the Ross Raglan, you know, and bring my style of singing to an audience that hardly ever gets to hear or hasn't had a chance to be able to pay attention and see what's going on with the real world. Because a lot of the time when we have guests coming to our powwows and whatnot, a lot of it just we're watching the dancing, but they don't really like listen to the singing. It's either watching the dancing or food. It's one or the other. It's not let's sit down and watch and listen to the singers. Everyone's there for the dancers. And so when you just use a musical aspect, you know, it's kind of like giving a foreshadow of what people can see. Cause a lot of the times, a lot of people, you know, joke around in today's society and say that our music is, you know, bad medicine or it's witchcraft and wizardry or whatever they call it nowadays. And so, but I've been doing this for a long time, and how it started was I had a drum and I would go walk the main streets of downtown Klamath Falls, singing my songs, you know, because singing makes you feel good. It makes me feel good. I don't know about anyone else. And if it don't, you better smudge yourself. Yeah. But you know, singing makes me feel good. And these songs that I sing, you know, I'm trying to put into the air to let her know, hey man, you know, you're feeling down. Let's sing this song. Let's get your spirits back up a little bit. So that's a lot of the time that I was doing downtown to kind of give.
How old were you at this time?
I was like 14.
And you weren't shy at all. And what was the reaction of people?
A lot of it was kind of shocked, because you know how we have this whole thing going on with the whole water fight thingy. You know, our indigenous and non-indigenous communities are still kind of clashing. So when they see someone from the indigenous aspect coming out trying to, you know, meander around with the non-indigenous folks, it kind of gets them shocked. Like, hey, I'm like, check it out, man. I know our people been fighting over this for a long time, but music ain't causing this. I'm all, music is evolutionary or revolutionary, and it brings everyone together, no matter who you are. Like I said earlier, so if my song can be able to uplift you a little bit, I'm gonna sing it. I'm like, even if it pertains to something funny. Because a lot of the songs, you know, I sing around dads, and a lot of them are kind of funny. And so if you're feeling down and need something up, I'll sing a funny song. Or you need to feel real good, I'll sing you a war song. Yeah. But yeah, it's just, you know, trying to get us out there as tribal people here, you know, given that exposure. And I wouldn't say I'm like the catalyst for it all. We've had others do different things and whatnot, like one of our local family drums, you know, they Stagger Butte, I believe it was, they went and did an ensemble with a big old orchestra in New Orleans, I think a couple years back before COVID. And so, you know, it's just getting out that mainstream and whatnot. And yeah, like I said, the last couple years we had this there's called the Klamath Folk Festival. I think they claim it changed it to the Klamath Music Festival now, but you know, a lot of it was the last couple of years I seen them after they gave me the invitation. I was looking, and yeah, there wasn't really much indigenous representation. There was like a lot of country folk or alternative rock and all this and that. And so they kind of like gave me the opportunity to open up and express ourselves as an indigenous artist to people that you wouldn't expect to see. Listen, like, oh, hey, yeah, we've seen this on YouTube here and there, but never got to see what it's like really goes on, like in person live when you're listening to just the music.
Well, speaking of music, Let's hear some from you now. Let's grab that. What is that? Is that referred to as a drum or?
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of drum is that?
So I try to keep myself connected with the past and the future, and I call myself a part-time Indian. So I have here with me my my go-to faithful. I call it my Remo head drum. It's kind of like a fake drum head that you get from a drum set. And so sometimes when you don't want to bring your real drums around, because that's a whole different little aspect, you know, I like carrying this around because it's quote unquote fake, but it's easy to carry around, so you don't have to go super traditional and have to do the proper protocols and all that as you would with a real drum. And so
if you're going to hit some high notes, you might want to back off that mic.
No high notes today. I'll keep it light for everyone. So are we wanting to listen to a traditional song or?
It's your call.
Let me see here. Ken was a brave. Ken was a, no.
We'll go with traditional.
Yeah. Let me see here.
We have a mass audience out there listening.
Shout out to you guys if you're listening live. Yeah, I'll sing just one traditional, and I'll flip it around here and there.
And like I have three recordings, and I was talking to Jeff Mitchell, and he was telling me, you know, what they were, what type of song, like a war, you know, war song or a peace song, or so there's three, and I labeled them. So when I use them for the intro and outro for the podcast, what is this one?
This one, we'll call it the water song.
The water song.
Yeah, it's like I'll call it a water paddle song. And so it's going to just have the word just umbo, because the word umbo is just water in the Klamath language. And so it's just using that word and kind of flexing it together with some vocal bulls. And so I just call it like a water paddle song.
All right.
Because, you know, we're still trying to bring back, because we were canoe people too, but we haven't had canoes around up for a long while, and we're just slowly trying to bring those back into fruition. And so this song was kind of like inspired by that, to bring a paddle song, like our relatives up on the coast with our Siletz and Grand Ronde folk. And so that's kind of like the inspiration behind it. So here we go. Umbo wo ho wo 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 wo, umbo wo ho way, umbo wo ho wo wo wo, umbo wo ho way, ho way. Umbo wo ho wo wo wo, umbo wo ho way. Umbo wo ho wo wo wo, umbo wo ho way, ho way. Who?
So we had some low. It was low.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So going back to it, yeah, a lot of traditional songs will kind of just be, some can be low, some can be just your regular voice, or some can be super high. But a lot of it just trying to make it sound good, you know, sound, what they say, make it sound beautiful, majestic. I'm out there. I'm unorthodox. I'm all over the place. That's what I like to call my style of singing, because I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't born from parents or a family of singers. I just kind of had to find my own way and find my own voice. So I don't have a voice like a Northern Cree or a Young Spirit or anything. You know, I'm just me. I'm out there. Mm-hmm. I like to joke around with the millennials nowadays, so they can understand, is, you know, all those drum groups are like NCAA Division I type singing. And then there's me, NAIA Division IV, kind of like below the high school level. Everyone will catch it. Hey, you know, a little sports wise, but yeah, that song there was I call it our water paddle song, you know, so hopefully one day we could be able to use it as we start bringing out these canoes. Yeah.
Can we have one more?
Yeah. It sounded like a real powwow. One more. Let me see here. All right, here we go. So this song here, it's kind of I call it my universal song, because the song I made it intentionally to be was a ceremonial song for like a for any kind of gathering we do. So the words are Liukiaya, Liukiamina, and that means the people are gathering around this place. The people are gathering around this person, or in this case, depending on what it is, it could be a person, place, or thing. You know, it could be a fire, the fire, a rock, or whatever it is. So that's what those words kind of like rough translate to. And so for that one, the traditional song was Liukiaya, Liukiamana, Liukiaya, Liukiamana, just repetitive. And so I took those two words and I made another powwow song into it. So it's pretty much going to be the same concept. So like this song we would use for like an intertribal song if we were to sing it. And so instead of that super high for powwow song, it's kind of like an old style original, keeping that just that low coast to it. So nothing too crazy. So it kind of goes something like this. Yay, hi, ya, eh, hi, hi, ya, eh, hi, hi, ya, eh, hi, ya, hi, ya, hey, ya, Lee, you, kia, ya, Lee, you, kia, mana, yay, hi, ya, eh, hi, hi, ya, eh, hi, ya, hi, hi, yo.
Very nice.
Oh.
Well, thank you, Henry. Enlightening and very enjoyable to listen to. He's also the front desk at the tribal administration. If you walk in, you'll always see Henry there. And what's your next performance schedule?
Next performance schedule will probably be, man, I got my dates all mixed up. Next one will probably be up in Sletz, Oregon for their annual round dance up that way. You guys will hear more from me. You know, this is just a quick little introduction here of what's going on. So I'll probably end up coming back for more podcasts here in the future.
Or have your own show. You're always welcome to take some initiative and just, you know, do whatever you want. Yes. This is just the beginning.
Tell George you guys need a podcast manager now. I'll tell him I'll take it for after hours, get some music going. But yeah, man, hopefully you guys keep following and, you know, check it out. You know, this is a nice little setup. We're finally getting everything rolling here. So you guys may hear some more from me. And if you get tired of me, it's all right. You can smudge yourself. Nah. But yeah, if you guys ever call the tribal admin office, just know you're speaking to the voice of the people. People.
Henry Rondo, ladies and gentlemen, today on the Klamath Tribes podcast. Thank you, Henry.
Yep. We'll see you next time.